Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Nobody Panic with me, Stevie.
And me, Tessa.
This is a good episode, I think, because there's been a lot going on recently. And also by recently, I mean hundreds of years. But at the same time, a lot of people are kind of having their eyes open to things that lots of other people are going, why are your eyes opening now? Better late than never, guys.
The title is How to Practice Allyship. And initially we thought about calling it, or we were discussing it being called How to Be a Better Ally, and then How to Practice Being an Ally, and then the more we learn, and we're going to get into it, but I think the title needs to be How to Practice Allyship, because you realize it's not something you can just say, oh, I've done it, tick, yep, I'm an ally. You've got to, it's a lifelong work.
Yes. And it's for anyone who's feeling a bit lost or confused or overwhelmed by things, wanting to help, not knowing what to do. And also, crucially, being scared to do anything in case you get it wrong.
We're trying to talk to sort of all different kinds of allyship. So that's white people supporting black people, men supporting women, cis people supporting the trans community, physically able supporting disabled. Maybe you find yourself in one marginalised group for one thing, but in another way, you're in the privileged camp. So hopefully this speaks to everyone, and we're sorry if we get anything wrong.
Neither of us are experts here. What we've done is we've just done lots of reading, and so we just wanted to impart the small steps that we've learnt and we're trying to go on ourselves, so that you don't feel, because it was very important to do something, but also it's very important not to just like expect those marginalised communities to do it all themselves. So we all have to, and I'm speaking of myself as somebody who is a white privileged woman.
Yeah, I think it's something, this podcast is probably born of the collective noise of this noise. Ah!
Yes.
Which is everyone being like, oh God, this is awful. I want to help. I don't know what to do. Is this wrong? Am I saying the right thing? Ah! And then we're so terrified about getting it wrong that we felt like the worst thing we could do would be for everyone to be so afraid of doing anything that they did nothing.
And if you're listening being like, actually, I don't think there's a time that I'm in any of the marginalised group, look, great, you just really need to practice being an ally.
I mean this really sincerely, like I feel genuinely for the straight white male community.
Oh, come on, let's hear it.
No, I mean, like, if you have never been in the marginalised group, I really think that it is really hard to have the empathy to understand what it's like.
Yes, I agree. I've had lots of like conversations with male friends and my own boyfriend being like, he's absolutely lovely and wants to learn everything and ask me questions so that he can understand, because my sort of thing is obviously I'm a woman, so I experience sexism and he doesn't. And it's been very interesting talking to him and seeing like how, you know, you have to do quite a lot of work to put yourself in the shoes and to really understand something that you've never experienced in your entire life. So we have to also be aware, I think there's this really unhealthy trend of like, you know, hashtag men are trash, hashtag, like, it's like straight white men are all automatically pieces of shit. You're like, well, nah, can we not? Because some of them are really, really trying. And I think on a base level, it doesn't help anybody to throw stones at anybody. We need to start seeing that we're all in it together. Otherwise, nothing will ever change. Like when Phil Wang came on and we talked about toxic masculinity, and he very, very intelligently said, you know, well, nothing has ever changed unless the oppressors and the oppressed are able to come to some sort of agreement. It can't just be one versus the other, because that's never, ever going to do anything.
Let's get in. My adult thing is, I've finally been to home base. And
oh, my God, you made it.
I made it. It poured with rain. I made it. And I got in just before it shut as well. So but I kept running around the one-way system and they couldn't get me. And
I love how fourth time you went.
This
is like three times of not being able to go. The fourth time you went, you still left it so late that it was nearly
baffling.
Shut.
Absolutely baffling behaviour. Bought a sander, so I'm finally ready to sand my scaffolding planks that I got out of a skip. Do stay tuned, because I imagine this will be my adult thing for some time.
My adult thing is, as a non-dairy eating vegetarian, I only eat maybe one egg that's come out of a chicken. I've looked into its eyes and seen its beak smile.
And it said, this is for you.
This is for you and I'm happy. I struggle to get enough protein. It's almost like you're not allowed to say that if you're vegan. If I was like, actually, I get too much protein, if anything. So I bought some protein powder. I did a lot of research. I asked a lot of people. It's called Third Wave. And it's not too expensive, although it is expensive. But then the amount you get out of it, it's actually not. And I've been making chocolate banana. It's like chocolate protein powder. Banana, chopped frozen banana, so it's like, ooh, like a milkshake. Milk, oat milk, obviously, because I'd throw up. And peanut butter. It is absolutely delicious, and it means I can have a chocolate milkshake every day and feel okay.
Wow!
They're delicious, and for the first time, I'm not joking, I feel like not ill, not like tired
strong.
And ill all the time. I think I just haven't been eating any protein and then been like, why? Oh, well. And my like nails are better as well. Look at my nails.
That's
I've never had
beautiful.
Nails like that. So yes, I feel very grown up.
What great. A dream.
Yeah. Let's...
Let's dive right in. I'll start with the definition. This is from Peernet NBC. And this is when you realise that you can't just say, I'm an ally, even though you think like, oh, but I am. I think it's a good cause and I support you. Can't I just say I'm an ally? Turns out, no. So this is the official definition of allyship from Peernet NBC. It is... an active, consistent, and challenging practice of unlearning and re-evaluating, in which a person of privilege seems to work in solidarity with a marginalized group. Allyship is not an identity. It is a lifelong process of building relationships based on trust, consistency, and accountability. Allyship is not self-defined. Our work and our efforts must be recognized by the people we seek to ally ourselves with.
Oh, let's break that down. One of the main things that I feel about this stuff is sometimes the language can feel overwhelming. And
absolutely.
You can be like... what, I have to be a... this sounds like I have to be a doctor. That's what it sounds like.
Exactly.
But when you break it down...
because that's the thing, it does... so sometimes with this sort of stuff, the language becomes so academic that you're like, oh, and that's where you're like, oh, no, have I got it wrong? But really,
yeah.
It's just saying, you know, you can't... someone else has to give this to you. You can't do it yourself.
Yeah, so an active, consistent and challenging practice of unlearning and reevaluating. So unlearning is basically... so I'll give an example of it. So there was a video going around from Jane Elliott, who is an American diversity educator, which basically she sort of specialises in this unlearning thing, which sounds like a ridiculous word, but it's the best word for it. Because so the video that I saw that she did was her explaining how the map of the world that we've all grown up with looking at is completely not to scale, that the Southern Hemisphere and essentially... The countries that we would often, that people often deem in massive quotation marks, third world countries, have been made much smaller. And the like Europe and Russia and America and Northern America have been made much bigger and more prominent. And that is just one way. And like you might be thinking, so how do you think that subtly and subconsciously changes how you view the rest of the world? And that's just one example of how we have learned something and we need to unlearn it. Just like there's another, it's not really unlearning, but it's actually just plain learning. The idea that I realised that all the way through school, I've never once been told about the British Empire. And it's so bizarre that we were not taught that, but we were taught so much about World War II. Like, I know every aspect of that. Pretty much every single problem in the entire world currently stems from British people going out and just fucking shit up. So you completely can see how important it is to unlearn and to try and like look at the things that you're missing out and that you didn't get taught at school. And there's loads of resources that you can just go, Instagram's full of it, like you can go forth and like find this stuff yourself.
The map thing is so fascinating because we've centered ourselves completely in the middle. We've made our country look way bigger than it is, and we've compressed everything for size. And it's not to do with like, oh, we had to fit it on the A3 sheet of paper. Like, that's an active choice that was made. And so a big part of allyship and why it's like so hard, and why you can't just say, yeah, I am one, is that it's like, do you want to come down the rabbit hole? And you're like, yeah, how bad can it be?
Quite bad.
You think you've got a pretty good handle on the world, and you're like, yeah, I'm pretty educated, I'm pretty curious about the world. And then you're like, oh God, like, this is rotten to the core, and, you know, it's so, so deep. So allyship is not an identity. I think we've, you know, you can't just announce that you are one. And that it's a lifelong process of building relationships based on trust, consistency, and accountability, which is about, basically, it's showing up and then continuing to show up. So it's about, you know, saying like, I am here and I am staying here. I'm not just here while it's like trendy, and I'm going to continue to be part of this and to be accountable to something. It's not self-defined. Again, we don't need to say ourselves. Our work and our efforts must be recognized by the people we seek to ally ourselves with. And yeah, so ultimately, like, that, if you're looking to be told you are an ally, you need to be told it. You know, the amount of work you would have to do to be actively told that by the group, I think, is an enormous, it's almost so much work that it's almost like, don't even have that in your mind, that like, that's going to be your final reward, because that will be so much. I think about Richard Herring a lot on International Women's Day, the comedian who spends the whole day, but very famously, men love to say, when's International Men's Day? And it is on the 19th of November. And this comedian, Richard Herring, spends the whole day replying to every man who says that on Twitter, telling them that it's the 19th of November, and then donating a portion to the Women's Refuge Trust. And I think, which is like work, time, effort, money, you know, all of the things. And then I feel like even at the end, women are like, yeah, fine. Like, no one's going to give you it. We're like, we still don't say like, oh, well, no one ever says like, oh, well done you. Like, you know, we just are like, good enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, there is no prize. There is no reward. Like, no one, no matter how much you do, like, there is not going to, you know, like Jane Elliott, who talked about, dedicated her entire life to this thing. And then maybe she gets to be called.
Yeah. Like,
ally,
you
know,
do not, there's this, I saw this like very brief kind of exchange on Twitter, because the, I think the full acronym now is LGBTQIA. The A has been added to mean, like, I think it's asexual. Please do let me know if that's wrong, but from what I seem to gather, that was what it was. And some people genuinely believing it meant ally. And that's the absolute dictionary definition of what you should not be trying to do. You are not inserting yourself into this at all. Like, you do not go around being like, well, as an ally, like, well, actually, I see myself as an ally. If those sentences come out of your mouth, you need to stop, and you need to stop thinking like that. And I know I felt like that as well. And I felt like really like, but I think I thought I was an ally. You need to like forget that kind of as a vibe. It's just not really the concept. Mm-hmm. It's the only people who can call you an ally are the people, yeah, who you are working for. So it's not, you're not waiting for them to kind of knight you as an ally. That's not what this is for. What I found really difficult is social media, from my perspective anyway, it takes even the most positive elements and it makes them narcissistic, because you are automatically by default plugged into a system which rewards likes and things like that. So there's a balance that you have to constantly be like, oh, have I tipped over into it's about me now, or am I making sure that I'm doing this for the right reason? I'm doing this to spread information.
If I may quote American rapper Lil Wayne,
mean, sure,
it's about doing things not for the likes, just doing things quietly. He says, as we all know, real G's move in silence like lasagna, because the G is silent in lasagna.
Kill me!
Stevie has dropped horizontally off the screen, as in, like, the true guys doing the good stuff, they move in silence like lasagna. Like, just do it quietly. Like, if you can do something, and obviously it's like, it's hard to, you know, people want to say, oh, excuse me, I did this good thing today. But the more that you can do it silently and without needing praise or reward or
literally trying to improve the human race, that is literally why you're doing it. So if that is not enough, then have a little think.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The polar opposite of the doing it for likes is the doing it out of fear that, and maybe this is more for like, maybe you're part of a company or you're part of a brand or something that has put, and lots of people are coming out with statements about solidarity and all of this sort of thing. That's coming from a place of fear. And again, if those things are just a like, we're in support, we stand in solidarity, that is absolutely meaningless unless it says like, and we have taken these steps and we are donating here and we are making sure our workplaces has, you know, access for everybody, and we make sure that these things, you know, it's that thing of like, if it didn't cost you anything, it's not enough. Mm. If it didn't cost you time or effort or money or resources, then it's just nothing. Then it is literally,
or even just like, think if you did something out of fear, like if you did like post a black square and then you're like, oh, everyone's being mean about the black squares, you have to then, like, the bare minimum I think that is that you should do is like think about, okay, well, then why did I post that? Why am I afraid? Why was I frightened? Why did I not, for example, feel like confident enough to say something in my own words? It's so much better to take something. I read this somewhere, and I can't remember who said it. Like, it was so much better to take something and then turn it into your own words and then share it. Even that is better because it requires you to engage with what you think about it rather than just being like, and retweet and repost, because that's easy. Always be thinking, like, if you have, because I've started following people like Rachel Cargill on Instagram like a few years ago. She's very, very like, white feminism, it fucking sucks. And you are like, white women, you are also the problem. And she's very, very direct. And I found it really like, it felt like I was being attacked. And I spoke to Gina about it. My sister Gina's an activist, and she really is practicing allyship in a really good way. And she, because obviously I wasn't like, you're an idiot. I was just like, why do I feel so bad? I'd like, I feel so bad about it. And Gina was like, this is stage one. Like, I went through it a few months ago. First, you kind of get upset about it, and you're like, but I'm not racist. And you're like, no, you are. Every white person who's benefiting from the system is racist. Like, we really are. The whole system is racist. Therefore, we are benefiting from it. Therefore, we are racist. So we have to, the moment that you accept that, it's quite freeing. So you're like, yeah, okay. Now I'm like, cool. Okay. I want to learn more. I want to like try more and try harder. And I feel that I'm glad that I had that about being upset by it. I'm glad I was, because I think that a lot of people don't push through that, because it just feels horrible. And you just feel, it's not nice to be told that you are privileged. People like, look how men react when you like say like, ah, well, you're privileged. You wouldn't understand. Like, it doesn't go down well often. They get very, very defensive, especially on Twitter. So you can see it happening. And you, like you said, you're always going to be in the marginalized, and you're always going to be in the privileged as well for certain things.
I completely agree. I think on that, like the black squares thing, and I'm sure lots of people saw this happening, that people were posting a black square and then posting hashtag Black Lives Matter. And I actually think it was an amazing learning opportunity in like real time, because people were doing this because they were like, okay, this is what everyone's doing. Here I am. I'm getting involved. Then very quickly, the word got out that was like, if you use this hashtag Black Lives Matter, what you're doing is literally blacking out any access to like resources or things, people who are using that hashtag to learn or to give information or help or whatever. So please, can you swap that and use Blackout Tuesday? And then obviously your initial feeling, if you had done it wrong in inverted commas, would be like, oh my God, this is the worst thing. But if there, of course, there are going to be mistakes. Everyone's going to fuck up. But if you can then make that a learning opportunity and be like, oh, okay, understood. I got it wrong. Thank you. I changed my behavior. I understand now. And we get a chance to, like, you know, begin again more intelligently. Like, people have learned something. And as long as everybody keeps moving forward and it's like, okay, amazing, we learned from that experience. Now we're better. You know, we get to get up and be better tomorrow. The only way that experience can be bad is if everyone's like, I'm never doing that ever again. I fucked it. It was too, you know.
However you react and however you reacted, it's you need to just keep moving forward rather than stick it. Like, it helps nobody. I remember someone saying, and I can't remember who it was. It was a black woman saying, like, we are too exhausted drowning. And we are too exhausted anyway without, like, drowning in white tears as well. And that's the thing. Like, just if... you do, whatever you do and however you react, don't dwell on it. You just have to move forward. And if you are doing the work outside, that's good. Not everybody is able to post a very eloquent tweet or to, you know, want to use social media at all or in that way. But if you do have the platform and you are able to, then it's the best way to disseminate the information, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. And that is, and the stage one can often be, is really, really tough to be like, oh my God, I thought I was a good person. Turns out I'm completely part of this problem. If you're feeling like that because you've just learned about something and you want to help another group, put yourself back in the mindset of you, how you feel when you're in your marginalized group. Imagine if somebody in the privileged team, in whatever that set looks like for you, if they suddenly found out about something bad that had been happening to your group and then they burst into tears and were like, this is so horrible. And you were like, uh-huh, like, that's not helpful. And so you've just always got to think like, yeah, okay, my feelings are not as important as the marginalized community's lives. And those feelings aren't unique, if that helps you to feel less alone, that like everybody feels that fear, that shame, that like panic, that not knowing what to do, wanting to get it right. Like, everyone's feeling that. You just have to work through those feelings and be like, okay, what's a positive action I can take
as a result? Yes, and also I found something helpful. Someone said there was like a BuzzFeed privilege test, which I found quite interesting. It was like 100 questions or whatever, and it basically tells you what percent privilege you have. It's not scientific, but I've definitely fallen into the trap of being, so I was like, well, I'm a working class person, I, you know, I've had no kind of contacts in any of the industries I've wanted to go in, I've worked from the ground up. But then when you break it down, it's helpful to go through your stages and really, really think about it properly. So okay, I was the only person from a state school in my college, there were no black people, so therefore that will have helped me get into that university. Okay, it took me a long time to get a job, and I struggled to get into both of the industries that I work in. However, I have a white sounding name, so I automatically was more likely to get a job interview.
And sometimes people thought you were a man. So,
and the moment they found out I was a woman, the guy said, the next piece I got was for Halloween, when all your gal pals come over to get ready, can we come and photograph you for our slumber party section? Not joking. But yes, so it's helpful to, if you, because I think sometimes one of the things is like, oh, I'm actually not that privileged, actually. You will be surprised how privileged you actually are, because we all have it.
The word privilege, I think, has really thrown everybody for a loop, because we think it to mean like luxury. Whereas it really, and nobody is saying that somebody who is in the privileged versus the marginalized group, nobody is saying that anybody in the privileged group has had a fantastic life. People have been through terrible things, people have had awful setbacks. But when we're discussing the specifics of this marginalized versus privilege, we're saying that the privileged group have not had to suffer the direct things that the people in this marginalized group. So
like, there are real setbacks. There are real, like, factual setbacks for people of color that white people just do not experience.
It's like that map. Like, we didn't write the map. We had absolutely no idea. We didn't know it was in the middle. But obviously, seeing a map where your country is in the middle of it every single day of your life is obviously a privilege that leads you to believe, totally subconsciously, in a deep, deep bias, that you are therefore literally the center of the world. You know, we have to sort of get to the end. I want to leave people with some sort of positive, actionable things that they can do. If you're currently going through the unlearning stage, which is, again, going to be for the rest of your life, but if you're in the, like, deep shame well, whatever group you happen to be in, these are some sort of, like, things to climb onto to get out of there. And so obviously the first one is teaching yourself to educate yourself. Like, you imagine, I think, with all of these things that you go to a party and you arrive, if you've ever hosted a party and then somebody shows up and is like, what can I do? And you're like, it's not a helpful, you're like, and you just gesture at the room being like, I mean, everything. It's, but if someone shows up and then they say like, can I do this? Could I put out the what's-its? You're like, thank you, very helpful. Or best of all, silent like a lasagna, someone who just, the good friends who just show up and are just put out the stuff. So like, don't ask your friends, your colleagues, your loosely distant acquaintances who are in whatever group, don't say like, oh, please, can you help me?
Is it all right to say this? Is it okay to do this?
No, not like, go and, you know, teach yourself, educate yourself, read the books, watch the documentaries, learn about the map.
Also, same with, can I just say, like, if you, on Instagram and stuff like that, like, I think there was a tendency to, for people to just, like, list, like, I found these educators really helpful, and then those educators would have an influx of people from privileged communities just in the comments being like, but why am I racist, though? Or, like, but what about trans women? It's like, oh, my God. So, it's also very helpful to find these, like, educators yourself. So go and find them. Don't wait for someone just to give you a list, follow all of them and be like, I'm done. Because that also is a helpful process to see the sort of people that you connect with, that and follow people that that challenge you and make you feel uncomfortable. But do not, if you are in the privileged community or the privileged side of that, do not comment and ask them questions, because they will be providing resources for you to just, they, you are there to listen. They are not Google. You can go and Google these things. Like, you don't have, you can read books, you don't actually have to. It's very easy to just be like, oh yeah, but go on, tell me. And that's actually annoying across the board. Yeah. I think that's like a good life thing. Just stop asking people things you can Google. But I could see a great example, and people were very, very well good at explaining to them why that was, it's not your space. Like, this is not your space. You have the rest of the Instagram. You just, this isn't for us now. You're here to watch and listen. And I think also just diversifying your Instagram feed in general, doesn't have to be activists. Just follow people who don't look like you, who don't have the same experience as you. You'll just start to kind of subconsciously almost like osmote some of that, what they're saying, and some of their kind of culture and whatever it is, because obviously we're talking about a wide variety, so it's hard to find the actual nouns. But you know, anybody who's different to you will help you in a way, just as much as following an activist who is giving you lots of like resources.
And again, like, you know, to use that thing of empathy, like, I'm sure when sort of the Me Too movement kicked off, I'm sure a lot of women had their extremely well-meaning male friends say, like, have you got a Me Too experience? Or like, have you ever been a victim of sexual assault? To which, which you're like,
just a blinking. Uh-huh.
Like, just being like, firstly, every woman you know has, and also, I don't want to just, you know, and it's so well-meaning and it's come from a good place, but it's not, you know, and so that is, when you, again, so well-meaning, so good, want to ask your black friends or your gay friends or whoever and be like, have you ever experienced a terrible homophobia? You're like, yes, and now I have to dredge it up and talk about it to you. And so, like, don't use them as, so that educating thing, like, consider that to be, you have to be your own teacher. And you're like, well, it sounds like hard work. Yes, it's going to be a long, old process. And also, it might be helpful if when things are coming up for you, like weird feelings or in this unlearning process or any sort of biases you had, or all of those things, to like keep a very secret journal in which you write those things down. Like, they're in there, you're like, this is a thing I think that I know isn't right, but like, I'm feeling it. Like, document the process and like get those feelings out and get them written down. And along the way, you'll be able to look back and be like, oh shit, like only a week ago, I thought I wrote that in the journal. Bloody hell, let's burn it. But like, just admit that like those thoughts are there. Like, you know, when you accept that you're like, it's so, when you're like, oh yeah, I probably am. I've grown up in a racist culture. I'm absolutely racist. You're like, okay, now I can do the work to, rather than be like, no, I'm not. You don't have to be on the defensive all the time. And then in showing your support to people, both with your money, like donate places if you can, support businesses that aren't the same as you if you can. And then the big one is about calling it out when you see people, you know, going through something. I saw this tweet that was like, if we really, when you sent me that text that said that was really fucked up, that was very nice. But what would have been great is if you'd just called it out at the time in front of everyone.
It's hard. That's the hardest thing to do.
It's so hard.
Like we talked about a while back on the podcast about the that's not cool guy who would be at a party and something happens and like someone just goes and it's like an off color joke and someone goes like that's not cool. And then, and everyone just knows it's not cool. And no one thinks that that's not cool guy. Or I'm saying guy, I mean anyone.
I think he was a man, but he can be anyone. You can be your own that's not cool guy.
I reckon it will take three that's not cool to make you become a that's not cool person.
The first two will definitely be, that's not cool.
And it'll sound like you've got an accent. That's what will happen.
You'll be crimson. But then you'll be practiced at it and you'll be like, I'm ready. I'm saying it everywhere. So just get those first couple of that's not cools out the way and then you'll be
we've said this before in this episode, but like this is like base level. So anyone listening, they're like, good Lord, you say how to practice allyship is just saying that's not cool at a party. We are starting from the ground.
We're on stage one here.
And it's so difficult to call something out. I find it difficult to call out sexism, and I'm a woman, and that's a sexist joke. So it's very, very hard sometimes. It's also very British to be like, oh, I don't want to cause a fuss, even though that person's been absolutely foul. Like, you have to practice it. Yeah, it's unhelpful to preach to the converted at night. You have to see, and I as well, like, when you see racist comments and racist abuse, it's so easy to go, oh, I wouldn't help there. You absolutely can, you would always help. There are things that you can do just being there, just saying, like, you're okay, that was not okay. Or being like, hey, like, leave her alone. Or being like, mate, that's not cool. Like, different intonation, same words.
Different tone.
Powerful on a silent tube when no one ever speaks.
We've all been there. We have to take the initiative to go and just stand there. Be there. Stand up. And so, yeah, call it out individually. Call it out in your... Because we can't say what your individual workplace or family relationship or friends are like. So you have to be like, okay, in my workplace, what can I do better to make this place more diverse, more inclusive, more helpful? Who am I seeing that's, you know, that's... be having a tough time? Who's the marginalized group here? What can I change? Because it can feel like, but this is all so big, I can't do anything. Yes, you absolutely can, on like an individual
also
and
one thing
level.
Is that there are so many on Instagram and on Twitter, on social media, so many like helpful little analogies that you can use for so many different things, for say conversations with family, conversations with friends. So for example, the consent conversations, if you haven't seen that, there's an analogy with having a cup of tea. So if you Google like consent, having a cup of tea, I use that a lot with male friends or people who ask odd questions and I'm like, are you serious? Rather than being like, shut the fuck up, I'll be like, oh, have you heard that? So there are lots of little like illustrations and things that you can use. So maybe like bank some of those so that when you are home for Christmas with your bigoted uncle, don't just let him get away with it this time, but don't shout at him because that isn't going to do anything. But maybe have some of these like little things stored that are very simple that could help people see things in like a different way.
Nobody changed their opinion because they were shouted at. Just consider your personal war effort in the resistance, having these very calm, quiet conversations with people.
While understanding that people may be defensive, like marginalized groups will be defensive, and they may be what you perceive to be, oh, you're being so aggressive though. That is hundreds of years of persecution.
That feeling of you being like, why is everyone being horrible to me? That's your problem to work on, not anyone else's. Your feelings are not more important than other people's lives.
Very much so. Look, who knows if it's helpful or not? I hope it was helpful.
Maybe we'll have to come back with like round two when we level up and learn some more. But like, I hope it at least gives everybody a bit more of like a breath to be like, okay, I think I can do this.
And a lot of you will be further along thinking, bloody hell, like,
you two idiots, where have you been?
Fair enough. Absolutely fair enough.
Absolutely. Call us out. We're ready for it. So if we've got it wrong, or if there is something that we can learn, or, you know, we need to be called out for something, like we're ready. You know,
and do tweet us at Nobody Panic Pod if you want to have a go at us, or also if you have any, it'd be good if you have any good you know, like we're saying about the kind of tea, the cup of tea consent thing, we will share them, because I think it's just good to circulate that sort of stuff. And also, if you have any ideas for future podcasts, we've got a couple that have been suggestions that are going to come up soon, which is fun. We do listen and we do take note, even if we don't reply. nobodypanicpodcast@gmail.com, and I'm at Stevie M. The S is a 5, the number 5.
The podcast handle is nobodypanicpod@twitter.com. And my handle is at Tessa.
It's Nobody Panic Pod, by the way. Yeah, I mean, have a good week, guys. And stay safe and stay educated.
And practice
allyship.
Allyship. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, you know, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But yeah, this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.